Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Okay, let's start off with another update on the efforts for full forensic audits of the 2020 election in Arizona and Georgia. In Arizona, the nation's first full forensic election audit in Maricopa County continues despite seemingly endless court challenges and disparaging attacks in the media by Democrats and phony Republicans there. Not a lot is being disclosed about what, if anything, is being discovered in the audit, as is part of the plan until after the audit is completed, but officials in charge predict completion by later in June. In Georgia, after a judge ruled that paper ballots could be examined in detail, Georgia election officials have moved in court to halt this procedure, and it is being held up pending hearings on the plaintiff's requests, which are basically to shut down the audit. Not much more is expected there until after the court hearings are completed and rulings issued. Elsewhere in the country, there are efforts underway in numerous other states to launch their own forensic election audits, which is good news. We'll keep you posted on how all these efforts go. If you've listened to this program in the past, you know we have reported on election fraud warrior and MyPillow.com CEO Mike Lindell's latest video documentary, Absolute Interference, which you can watch on LindellTV.com. That's LindellTV.com and elsewhere on the internet. In this documentary, Lindell claims to have absolute proof that communist China hacked voting machines in five key swing states in the U.S., including Georgia and Arizona, and flipped more than 518,000 votes in those states from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. These critical half-million votes were enough by themselves to throw the election to Biden, Lindell states. And this was just 19 of some 1,500 cyber attacks on voting machines and equipment across the U.S., part of which are believed to have switched millions of votes from Trump to Biden, Lindell states. Lindell is now calling this his evidence of election fraud a, quote, royal flush, unquote, and says when the time is right in the near future, he expects to prove it in our courts. The big question for me is, will the courts be willing to consider this evidence? For more about all this, let's listen to an interview by former Trump advisor Steve Bannon with Lindell on Bannon's America's Voice radio program on May 25. Bannon also has Bannon's warroom.com, an aggregate news site. Play soundbite one, please.
This is to set the table. Mike, remember, is not an old China hand. And is not, it's in the book by Josh Rogan. They break out who's, you know, in these, you know, confrontation realists. The super hawks are Bannon and Navarro and a handful of others. The super hawks theory of the case, this is not about confrontation. This is not about competition. This is about a transnational criminal organization that is the Chinese Communist Party that must be destroyed root and branch today. No compromise, no competition, no working together, no even beyond confrontation. They must be taken apart brick by brick, and they can be because of our technology and our capital markets. Actually, it'd be quite simple to do it if we had the political will to do it. Mike Lindell takes it from another angle. He says, hey, not only, you know, I don't know about the Wuhan lab, but one thing I can tell you that they're in back of the big steal. That the railhead of that is the Chinese Communist Party. Now, remember, what we're doing at the War Room is working and supporting and making sure people have information, what I call the ground game. That ground game's in Arizona. It's now metastasized to Georgia. The mainstream media is in total meltdown. It's in New Hampshire. It's coming to – it's already in Antrim County. It's in Michigan. It's going to get bigger there. It's in Wisconsin. It's in Pennsylvania. It's going to be in Nevada. Okay, that's the ground game. What Mike Lindell is what I call the air game. Okay, he's the air game. He's focused principally on the machines, right, which we really haven't. But his air game has a path. It has a glide slope indicator, right? That he's on the path there. So I want to turn now to Mike Lindell. First, Mike, I got to talk about what's going to happen today later. This is all about spin and taking people's attention. This is the shiny toy they try to pull over here. You're going to be the Republican governors meet today, I think. They have conferences and all this stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is Brian Kemp of Georgia, is he the chairman of the committee at the Republican governors in charge of election integrity? Do I get that correct, this conference you're going to attend today?
That is correct. I looked at that and went, what? it's pretty amazing that he's in charge of that. And then Doug Ducey is chairman of the whole organization. And it'll be interesting conversations with them. Where you were showing a little bit ago, Steve, where MSNBC says, you know what? We have breaking news here. This thing that used to be a conspiracy theory, now it looks like it came out of the Wuhan lab. But we didn't believe it when Trump's people said this back in 2019. Well, that's what's going to happen with this election fraud. You're going to see it.
Amen.
I can't wait for the day when MSNBC and Rachel Maddow and some of these other ones say, you know what? Breaking news. It wasn't a conspiracy theory. This was real. China attacked our country. And all these politicians like your Brian Kemp and your Doug Ducey's that didn't do anything or that tried to maybe block it. And it's very sad. But at least it's like I said the other day, I was with a bunch of people talking about this election. I said, you know, this is so strange to be holding a royal flush in a poker game. And you just wait for the right time to say, hello, here it is. And it's got to be perfect timing. And that's what we're headed for now.
You heard them referencing the Republican conference that same day, including discussions on election integrity, which it turns out Lindell was uninvited to, reportedly at the behest of Georgia Governor Brian Kemp and Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, who have received much criticism of their handling of the 2020 election matters. At least, however, their states are allowing the forensic audits. The other key swing states that decided the election for Biden, that is Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, all have Democratic governors. And Republicans there are having a much harder time getting their audits going. But the fights are still going on. While we're on the subject, let's listen to some comments by David Horowitz in a few moments of the Freedom Center on the issue of election fraud in 2020 election and the Marxist revolution that's been taking place in our country. And the two may well be related, which I have no doubt they are, but anyway, that's another matter. These comments are from an interview with Horowitz by conservative commentator Ben Shapiro on his internet show, May 24. The title of the show was Communist Turn Conservative. For those of you who may not know of Horowitz, his parents were communists and raised him to be one, which he was, and to the extent that he became one of the darlings of the left in America, having been a longtime leftist writer and editor of the, at the time, left's premier publication, Ramparts Magazine. Horowitz finally recognized the evil of the left and turned against it, becoming one of the greatest conservative thinkers and writers of our time. He's published many books on exposing the left's evil, hatred of America, and hypocrisies. His latest book, just out, is titled The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America. This book is available for $19.99 on Horowitz's website, frontpagemag.com. And I'm sure you can buy it elsewhere, such as on Amazon, if you want to patronize Amazon. Besides throwing open America's borders and flooding the country with hordes of desperately poor illegal immigrants, tomorrow's Democratic voters, pushing the left's racist hate with critical race theory, Biden and his other Democrat cohorts, among other things harmful to the U.S., have been engaging in a reckless federal spending spree with trillions of dollars of printed money, And Biden, no doubt at the behest of his handlers, is currently proposing a staggering $6 trillion federal budget for the next fiscal year. Do you think this isn't intended to ultimately bankrupt the USA? I believe that's their plan. Please play soundbite two.
But for folks who really don't know your early work, I think it's important that folks know your background. You started off as a full-fledged communist, essentially. So maybe you can explain your transformation. You started off in an actual communist family.
Yeah, this book I've written, The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America, is a book written from my own sort of biography. I was brought up by communists. I was one of the founders of the New Left. I edited its largest magazine. And I left the left when I realized that it wasn't about social justice. It wasn't about peace. It was about hating and destroying America. And this was brought home to me when the left got its greatest victory, which was to drive America out of Vietnam. When the communists came in, they proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million Indochinese peasants. And there was not one single demonstration by the so-called anti-war movement. And I knew then that my leftist friends didn't give a damn about the Vietnamese. They just the way they don't care about black people or any minorities. What they care about is their hatred for America and destroying it from the foundations up.
So as you've talked about growing up in a communist family, you see a lot of people now, young people who are resonating to the messages of Karl Marx and of socialism and communism. What is the appeal? I don't think it's predominantly an economic appeal as much as it is sort of an almost spiritual appeal.
It's a religious. It's a crypto religion. They believe that the world is a corrupt place. It used to be because of corporations. Now it's corporations and white people. And they believe that they're the redeemers. So they're going to act like gods. That's why why would you open the southern border in the midst of a global pandemic and let in 100,000, that's the figure, coronavirus carriers? Why would you abuse children on the scale that Biden and Harris are abusing them on the southern border if you cared about people? Why would you be conflating black criminals with civil rights workers, which is what the Black Lives Matter movement is about? And why would you burn cities? You do it because you hate America. And they put in a curriculum in our schools that's backed by the Biden government, the 1619 Project. It's a pack of lies. The idea is to make America's founding be slavery and racism. The 20 Africans who were shipped to the Virginia colony in 1619 were not slaves. And slavery was outlawed in the Virginia colony. And the Virginia colony was not America. It was an English colony. That doesn't faze them from teaching this to K-12 students. So, and the whole purpose is to make them hate their own country. You look now, the Jews are under attack from Palestinian Nazis who openly call for the genocide of the Jews, the destruction of Israel, and making it Jew-free, Judenrein, which is what the Nazis called it. And you have in Chicago yesterday demonstrations from these Nazi leftists. We have to start calling things by their right names. The Democrats call Republicans enemies of the state, armed insurrectionists, traitors, white supremacists, racists. And the McCarthy Republicans are calling them liberals. You can't win that battle. As long as we don't use the proper language, we're not going to be winning this battle.
So you suggested that the election is rigged. I just wanted to dig a little deeper there as to what you mean by that. So I don't see the evidence that fraud and irregularity are responsible for the vote outcome. I've said that the election was rigged by the media, that the media have obscured every single fact in that election cycle. that the media blacked out all coverage of Hunter Biden for the last month of the election. They lied openly about what was going on with COVID. They suggested that Andrew Cuomo knew what he was doing, but Trump was somehow at fault for the vast wave of COVID. They suggested that Trump was a vicious racist who was about to establish a tyrannical government despite no evidence that tyranny was on the way. They suggested that he was a Russian cat's paw, that basically, if you're talking about the sort of informal rigging of an election, the media are the political communications arm of the Democratic Party at this point, and that's enough to twist an election. When you say rig the election, what exactly do you mean?
Well, in my book, The Enemy Within, I describe what happened. In July of 2020, about, what is that, seven months out from the election, the Democrats sent 600 lawyers and 10,000 volunteers into the 50 states to change the election laws so that it would to benefit themselves. And what they did was unconstitutional. For example, in Pennsylvania, well, first of all, the Constitution says the election laws are set up by each individual state. It's a brilliant idea. It decentralizes the power. So the 50 state legislatures are supposed to set the rules. In Pennsylvania, for example, they changed the law so that the Supreme Court, which was run by the Democrats of Pennsylvania, they made the election laws. And they did it in a way that biased that election. There's about 1.4 million votes that were illegally cast because they were cast in contravention of the existing rules, but with the new rules set up by the Democrat Supreme Court. Here's the thing. Nobody actually knows. I don't claim that the election was decided by fraud. I claim that there was massive fraud committed during the election. We cannot say for certain, and certainly the Democrats, when they accuse anybody who questions the election of treason, are talking through their hats, because there has been no audit, none of the election result. And that's because of the war the Democrats have conducted against every effort to actually recount the votes and look at what actually happened.
Well, of course, there is a real forensic audit finally underway in Arizona and the beginnings of one in Georgia, as I said earlier. Efforts are continuing toward launching these forensic audits in numerous other states. But Horowitz is correct in that to date, no such audit has been completed that conclusively proves the massive fraud that's been alleged to have decided the election for Biden. Election fraud is difficult to prove, and the perpetrators have now had many months to destroy and alter evidence of it. We will have to see what comes of all these efforts at exposing election fraud. In the meantime, we continue to wait and wait and wait. It's interesting that Ben Shapiro believes the election was primarily decided by the left-wing dominated mainstream media's bias and cover-ups prior to and after the election. I'm sure this played a big part in the votes that were cast for Biden, as there are millions upon millions of brainwashed, brain-dead ninnies out there who, at least in this respect, who believe Democrats are heroes and vote consistently Democrat. But there's no doubt in my mind that a large-scale, well-coordinated election and or vote fraud scheme was carried out in the 2020 election that ultimately threw the election to Biden. There's certainly overwhelming evidence for this, and that the fraud involved both domestic and foreign actors, specifically communist China and I believe Iran, where many of the cyber attacks are alleged to have come from, as well as from corrupt Democrat and other leftist domestic actors who helped ensure that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of fraudulent paper ballots were counted for Biden. The result of this fraud is that we now have Joe Biden as president, who, along with his family members, are reported to have received tens of millions of dollars from individuals and entities associated with communist China, along with millions more in corruption schemes involving Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and other countries. We have Joe Biden flying into Ukraine as vice president and demanding, that is, vice president of the U.S. when he was vice president, and demanding that the new government there fire a prosecutor looking into money laundering and other alleged crimes of the Ukrainian energy firm Burisma, on whose board of directors was Biden's son, Hunter. I understand he was placed there shortly after being kicked out of the Navy for drug use. And somehow we're expected to believe Joe Biden had nothing to do with that. Joe Biden's position as vice president and the influence he could wield, which he did influence, wield influence. Joe Biden brags in an internet video about threatening to withhold $1 billion in U.S. aid to Ukraine unless that prosecutor was fired, and he was fired. We're supposed to believe Hunter Biden got himself appointed to the Burisma board of directors with compensation of some $80,000 a month and was paid millions by Burisma over several years without any influence by then Vice President Joe Biden, as I said. And is not threatening to withhold government aid in return for an action benefiting one's family member a federal crime? Where is our vaunted FBI? Unfortunately, as President Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani has pointed out, the FBI is today essentially a secret police agency for the corrupt and now far-left Democratic Party. And of course, the leftist-controlled mainstream media dismiss and ignore this horrendous scandal. It's hard not to conclude that Joe Biden is a puppet and bootlick for communist China, which, as we've discussed on previous shows, was losing its fabulously enriching trade advantages with the USA under Donald Trump's presidency, and thus could not allow Trump to remain in office. Hence, communist China's alleged involvement in a massive election fraud scheme that removed Trump and installed China's puppet and bootlick Joe Biden. You may have seen the recent pronouncements by the communist Chinese university professor who declared that China has won the biological war and the trade war with the U.S. You probably also knew about the growing chorus of government and scientific authorities stating that the COVID-19 pandemic, originating in Wuhan, China, was intentionally released on the world by the Communist Chinese Party to gain political and economic advantages. China vigorously denies this and has even claimed that the COVID-19 virus, also known as coronavirus, was made in the U.S. and unleashed on China through a cultural event involving U.S. military personnel. Now let's hear some audio excerpts from a soundbite I played last year on this program. It's from Tucker Carlson Tonight television show on Fox last September, and it is an interview with Dr. Li Meng Yan, a virologist from Hong Kong University who was working with the World Health Organization Reference Lab on the COVID-19 virus situation. Dr. Yan, who says she was suspended and forced to flee China, now resides in the USA and states she has proof that the COVID-19 virus was human-made based on its genome, which I understand is essentially the virus's DNA profile. Play soundbite 3, please.
Li Mengyan is the virologist who says she has evidence about where this pandemic actually came from. We're happy to have her on tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Tucker. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that you've published some of your research. You're planning on publishing more soon. Give us, for a non-scientific audience, a summary of why you believe this virus came from a lab in Wuhan, please.
Okay. Briefly, from my first report, I can present the solid scientific evidence to our audience that this virus, COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 virus, actually is not from nature. It is a man-made virus created in the lab based on the China military discover and owned the very unique bat coronavirus, which cannot affect people, but after the modification becomes a very harmful virus at now. So I have evidence to show why they can do it, what they have done. How did they do it?
So what you're saying is much more sinister even than we've suggested on this show, than Tom Cotton, than almost anyone suggested. You're saying that the Chinese government manufactured this virus, if I'm hearing you correctly. That's what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Based on the virus genome, it's basically like our fingerprint. So you can see the very unusual characters in their genome, which clearly, based on the other evidence they left during the modification, we can say finally this is exactly the one come from their own special bad coronavirus and then target human.
What you're alleging is shocking more even than I anticipated when we invited you on. So I just want to ask the most obvious question, which is this genome presumably is in the possession of many researchers around the world. Why is nobody saying this if it's true?
Yeah, why there is nobody want to say it? It's because of the big suppression come from the Chinese Communist Party government and also their friend in scientific world. So basically, this is very clearly that this virus is like Frankenstein. So he created those things like basically a cow has deer's head, has rabbit's ear, and also have monkey's hand. So they can never get it from the nature. And there were evidence left in the genome. But the scientific world also keeps silence, worked together with Chinese Communist Party. They don't want the people to know this truth. Also, that's why I get suspended, I get suppression. I am the target that Chinese Communist Party won't be disappeared.
You're a brave person. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt and assuming you're not an anti-Chinese racist. So it's not clear why Twitter would shut you down or why you're being ignored by the rest of the U.S. media. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Why would the Chinese government intentionally create a virus like this?
Okay, if you want to know the exact motive, the exact idea, I think people have to come to ask them, ask Communist Party, why did they do it? Because they are the one do it. We cannot always understand their evil thinking. You have to come to ask them. But what we see already proves that they have done that. It harmed everyone in the world, lead to the historic pandemic, involve everyone.
How do you believe this virus made its way from the lab in Wuhan outside to the rest of the world?
Okay, first, as I said, I have this kind of solid scientific evidence, and also my next report will come out soon to make you fully understand it is. The other thing is, I work in the WHO reference lab, which is the top coronavirus lab in the world, in the University of Hong Kong. And since I get deeply into such investigation in secret from the early beginning of this outbreak, I had my intelligence because I also get my own unique network in China, involved the hospital, institute, and also government. Also, I work with the top coronavirologists in the world. So together with my experience, I can tell you this is created in the lab. This is from that template owned by China military. And also it is spread to the world to make such damage.
We cannot always understand their evil thinking, Dr. Yan says. It's been widely reported that the Communist Chinese government, when they first discovered the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus in Wuhan, next to the Wuhan Institute of Virology lab, where it was allegedly created, they restricted travel to and from Wuhan within mainland China, but allowed unrestricted travel to and from Wuhan outside of mainland China, which then led to the massive spread of the virus to the rest of the world. Just a few weeks ago, Dr. Yan appeared on a program called Republic TV in India, in which she discussed a Chinese People's Liberation Army report titled Artificial Human Infections, if I understood the dialogue on the program correctly. There was a lot of – it was in English, but there was a lot of accent there, and the way it was coming across, I couldn't get a good, clear soundbite on it. But anyway, if I understood the dialogue of the program correctly, the dialogue, Dr. Yan stated on that program that COVID-19 virus was, quote, good material for a non-traditional bioweapon to ruin economies, unquote. Do you suppose it's possible, and I'm not the only one saying this, that the COVID-19 pandemic was intentionally spread by the CCP to damage other countries' economies, particularly the USA's economy, and to be a factor in facilitating the election fraud that ousted Trump and installed Biden? No doubt the pandemic was used by the Democrats in pushing the massive use of fraud-prone mail-in ballots and the many changes in state election laws that allowed such fraud-prone actions as counting of mail-in ballots received days after Election Day. In Pennsylvania, for instance, there was the bizarre incident shown by analysis of both the state's and New York Times vote data, in which several days after Election Day, almost 100,000 new votes were suddenly shown as being received, almost all of which were for Joe Biden. Yet the overall increase in Pennsylvania vote totals was shown as just some 8,000 new votes, indicating that other votes had been deleted. Another master of Joe Biden is the radical leftist billionaire George Soros, who's poured billions of dollars into a web of tax-exempt, supposedly charitable and public interest foundations that have worked assiduously to promote left-wing causes and policies. Soros himself has poured hundreds of millions more of his own money, his own personal fortune of more than $8 billion, into support for all sorts of radical left-wing, mostly Democrat political candidates around the country. It's been argued that Soros, along with a host of other leftist billionaires and millionaires, has steered the Democratic Party hard to the left. With all this money, along with many billions more from red, that is, communist, China, much of our political, governmental, media, and other cultural operations have become hopelessly corrupted. The only question is, how corrupted? Numerous people who have served and serve on Soros-funded foundations and advisory boards have been involved in the Biden presidential transition and administration, not to mention media outlets. Top Soros Lieutenant Mark Malik Brown, who has been a member of the British House of Lords and an official in the United Nations, was chairman of the parent company of Smartmatic, whose software, or some versions of it, have been used in many of the U.S. voting machines alleged to have been hacked in cyber attacks. Brown left the firm the day after Election Day 2020 to take over as head of Soros' Open Society Foundations Network, where Brown had already been serving as a member of the board of directors. As it turns out, the globalist Soros, who advocates for what he calls an open society with no borders and serving his vision of a progressive new world government, has had large-scale investments in communist China, $100 million here, $25 million there, and Soros even owns a Chinese pharmaceutical company, or did at least, last time I looked, located in where else but Wuhan, China, and involved in producing medicine to treat COVID-19 illness. You may also be aware of the current controversy involving allegations that U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, headed by Dr. Anthony Fauci, also known as Dr. Doom, had inadvertently funded with a $600,000 grant, or at least with $600,000 from a grant, might have been a multi-million dollar grant, the research that led to creation of the COVID-19 virus at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China. The Wuhan Institute of Virology, by the way, as I understand it, is operated by the Chinese military. Another longtime Democrat supporter and left-wing activist whose company has made huge amounts of money in Red China is Microsoft founder Bill Gates, who back in 2010 set himself up as some kind of world vaccine czar, advocating for a decade of vaccines, as he called it. for the world. Gates declared during the pandemic last year that things would not really return to normal until the entire world was vaccinated against COVID-19. Gates has personally vastly increased his personal net worth from some $50 billion back in 2010 to more than $120 billion today, as I understand it, largely through incredibly lucrative investments in vaccine research and vaccine-producing pharmaceutical firms. The Gateway Pundit published an article April 17, 2020, titled "Tying It All Together, China, Dr. Fauci, French company Sanofi Pasteur, George Soros, and the Gates Foundation." The article subtitle reads, "Links between Dr. Tony Fauci, China, French company Sanofi Pasteur, George Soros, and the Gates Foundation are old and deep. The China coronavirus ties them all together." The article stated that in 2007, quote, "Dr. Fauci personally licensed and saw to the performance of clinical trials to create a vaccine for the H5N1, I believe that's the avian flu as it was called, pandemic that was previously declared by Fauci. The company that Fauci worked with to create and stockpile a vaccine for the avian flu was Sanofi Pasteur." The article further states that Sanofi Pasteur is related to one of the very first Western labs located in the Republic of China, that is Communist China, I think. One of its investors is George Soros. Soros also invests in a company in Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus outbreak began. That company, the article continues, is called, I believe it's called Wuxi, W-U-X-I, and then the last word is Aptech, A-P-P-T-E-C-H, which just so happens, the article says, they develop vaccines too. This company is also related to the former head of the Chinese Communist Party, Jiang Zemin. The article continues, one of the vice presidents of French company Sanofi quit his job and went to Wuxi Aptech. Raymond J. Fitch, also known as RJ, left Sanofi Pasteur to serve as vice president of manufacturing at Wuxi Aptech. The Gates Foundation, the foundation created by American billionaire Bill Gates, hired Sanofi Pasteur to explore the technical and regulatory feasibility of micropellet technology for the development of cost-effective novel combination vaccines that are thermal stable. The foundation also worked with Sanofi on a polio vaccine. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in a series of video documentaries about Gates produced by thecorbettreport.com, James Corbett, I believe, is the founder of that. That's C-O-R-B-E-T-T, report.com, states that Gates, the Gates Foundation and Gates himself was pushing polio vaccines in India some years back, and it resulted in some 500,000 Indians coming down with paralysis. An Indian government official was quoted as saying, "It's obvious we've been used as guinea pigs." And the government there in India reportedly shut down the advisory commission or group that the Gates Foundation had working with the Indian government to promote these polio vaccines. Anyway, it goes on to say that Sanofi announced that the Gates Foundation was – in March 2020, Sanofi announced that the Gates Foundation was working with them again, this time on the coronavirus. Quote, "Sanofi is proud to be part of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Consortium to accelerate the development, manufacture, and delivery of vaccines, diagnostics, and treatments to fight COVID-19, it said. And the article continues, "And as noted above, now Sanofi has been engaged by the U.S. government to work on a vaccine for the coronavirus." The last paragraph, and I'm just quoting some excerpts from the article, but the last paragraph of the article states, "China at first covered up the coronavirus, but as soon as it admitted what was going on, the virus had spread and economic opportunists around the world jumped in." Let's finish up today with some comments by conservative radio and television host Mark Levin from his radio show April 9. Please play soundbite 4.
When you look at some of the celebrated leaders of the Democrat Party since the late 1800s and the early 1900s into current times, you look at Woodrow Wilson. He was a racist. He was a segregationist. He was born in segregated Virginia. He resegregated the military. And this is very well known. You look at Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt, who Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and most Democrats in Washington, D.C. consider the greatest of the presidents. Even people like Conrad Black are blinded by it. This is a man who rounded up 120,000 Japanese Americans and Americans of Japanese descent without any due process, issued the military order, and they were forcibly removed from their homes, their businesses were taken from them, and they were moved into the interior of the country into internment camps. This is also a man who worked with the New York Times and the Washington Post and other media to cover up the Holocaust and refused to allow Jews who were escaping certain death into the United States. Less than 1,000 of them. That's one of their great heroes. And then Barack Obama, our first black president. Barack Obama was befriended by and befriended domestic terrorists. Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, among others. Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn escaped long prison sentences based on a technicality, but they were involved in violent actions against our government, far more than ever took place on January 6th. Barack Obama also pardoned the leader of the FDLN terrorist Puerto Rican movement. He and his fellow terrorists created mayhem and some death in New York. He refused to show any remorse, and Obama pardoned him anyway. These are not great men. These are big government men. These are big government men. They didn't expand liberty for anybody. Not in this country. Woodrow Wilson despised our constitutional system. And today, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, most of the people in the media, these radical movements, whether it's Black Lives Matter or the leftist women in the House of Representatives, they do everything they can, day in and day out, to separate us from our history and to destroy our founding. They want you to believe that this nation, in its DNA, needs to be abandoned. And I sit here and I think to myself, slavery, segregation, all Democrat Party policies. How does it help to remedy what took place 150, 160 years ago in terms of slavery, and 50 years ago when it came to the Democrat Party and segregation, to embrace Marx? How does it fix anything, reform anything, repair anything, to embrace an ideology, even the bastard child they call progressivism, very quaint, an ideology that has killed 100 million people and enslaved over 1 billion people and impoverished even more people than that? What is it exactly? What kind of redemption and reformation are we going to get out of Marxism or its cheap sister, progressivism? How does enslaving the entirety of the country to a failed ideology do anything to resolve anything? It doesn't, does it? How many more experiments with human beings, with other countries, do we need? You notice communist China, a genocidal regime. You notice not a single person in this country who embraces so-called progressivism, Marxism, ever leave this country to move the communist China. Have you noticed that, Mr. Producer? Even more, the purest form of communism in terms of a government on the face of the earth today is North Korea. It's North Korea. You don't see athletes going to North Korea and living there. You don't see leaders of Black Lives Matter surrendering their passport, their citizenship in the United States and moving to North Korea. They'd be insane if they did. They'd be insane if they did. What is happening here, ladies and gentlemen, is we have very diabolical politicians and diabolical movements. Power-hungry individuals who are abusing this country, who are using our freedom to destroy our freedom, who are using our Constitution to destroy our Constitution. They feel empowered by this. They feel a rush of self-righteousness. Revolution can be very exciting to some people. They have power where they never would have power before. Fame, or at least acknowledgement, where they wouldn't have fame or acknowledgement before. They don't care about this country. Quite the opposite. They're destroying this country.
As I've said, the hallmarks of the left are self-righteous hate, fraud, that is, deception, and hypocrisy. For communists, their sympathizers, the so-called liberals, and other leftists, the ends justify the means. You can always pinpoint these attitudes whenever you look at the left. For example, Patrice Cullors, who's become wealthy as one of the founders of the communist Black Lives Matter movement, which advocates an end to capitalism, private property, including, I believe, inheritance of property, and an end of the traditional family, has been spending millions buying upscale and luxury homes, apparently with some of the fortune she's accumulated from writing books and signing movie deals with big corporations, who no doubt hope that Black Lives Matter will then leave them alone. One of the reasons President Trump gave for deciding to give up his fight over election fraud and recognize Joe Biden's presidency was that Trump stated he believes in the rule of law. But the left doesn't believe in the rule of law. They are, as Levin points out, using the rule of law to destroy the rule of law and to destroy America as we have known it, believing that it must be destroyed in order to save it and turn it into a subservient vassal state of the left's vaunted New World Order led by communist China. As one Republican congressman recently noted, the USA is awash in communist Chinese money. And remember that immediately after Trump's election in 2016 and continuing all during his presidency, the leftist mainstream media and Democrats howled day and night, day after day, about claims Trump somehow stole the 2016 election through collusion and election fraud, collusion with Russia. Tens of millions were spent on official investigation after investigation about all this, all of which turned up nothing about election fraud or Russia collusion. It was all a hoax. Now, if you suspect or allege election fraud in the 2020 election, you're somehow committing treason and are forbidden to talk about it. See, once again, hypocrisy here. And this is the way they shut down debate about things they don't like. But that's what leftists do. They lie and say you're lying. They cheat and contend you're cheating instead. They fabulously enrich themselves under our capitalist system while hating capitalism demanding an end to it, or at least its radical transformation in order to serve some kind of conception of what they call social justice. In pointing out the hypocrisy of the left's claiming it's treason to question the validity of the 2020 election, I'm reminded of a recent posting by attorney Lynn Wood on his Telegram.org channel. There, Wood states, quote, "In my legal opinion, if a person conspires with or acts in any way, in any manner, with a foreign entity or any individual or entity to interfere in a United States national election, that person is guilty of treason," end quote. Will enough of us recognize the great dangers we are facing today in time to rise up and demand the necessary changes that will save our republic and the precious individual rights and freedoms we have so long enjoyed before it's too late? That's a question for which an answer remains elusive, I'm afraid. Well, that's it for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of value. Look for us again 2 weeks from now in this same time slot. And if you miss our live broadcast, you can always listen to our podcasts of these broadcasts, which are posted on our webpage at bbsradio.com. Have a great rest of your day.